This conference is being recorded.
Hey everybody, this is Mike Westerdahl from CriticalBench.com. I'm going to be the host for today's show, and I'm very excited. I've got Nick Nelson on the line today. Nick is the VP of Better You, Inc. He's been inventing new training techniques and exercises for over 17 years. Two of his best-known books are Muscle Explosion, 28 Days to Maximum Mass, he also has a book called Metabolic Surge, Rapid Fat Loss. His main sites are fitness-ebooks.com and fitstep.com. I've known Nick since I originally put Critical Bench online back in 1999. We've been emailing back and forth and become pretty good friends, but this is actually the first time we've talked on the phone, believe it or not. So I'm excited about this, and I've got a lot of ab training questions, and I couldn't think of anybody better to answer these questions than Nick. If you've seen some of his pictures, he's ripped online, and he's one of the top favorite authors on the Critical Bench website. He's become a real fan favorite. So I'm real excited to have Nick here today. Welcome to the interview, Nick. Anything I left out in your introduction?
I think you forgot to mention that I'm a genius, too.
All right.
Just slip that in there.
And I forgot to mention he's very modest also.
Yeah.
So jumping right into it. As far as ab training goes, how important do you think nutrition is when it comes to getting your abs to show?
For getting your abs to show, that's huge. That's just huge. Because obviously if you've got that extra layer of fat covering up those abs, then you're not going to be able to see them very well no matter how hard you train your abs. And it's one of the biggest mistakes people make is that they think they're going to get a six-pack just by, you know, working the hell out of the abs. And it just doesn't work that way. You have to peel the fat off in order to see what's underneath.
Right. Well, hey, I think I have abs. They're just covered right now.
Yeah.
So that's Timing. Definitely, nutrition's important.
Yeah.
What body fat percentage do you think somebody would need to have in order for the abs to start showing?
Once you start getting around 12, 11, 10%, then they start to show up pretty good. I found with the right exercises and the right kind of training, you can actually get them to show a little sooner because you're not just, you know, using like thousands of reps and everything, but I'm sure we'll get to that. But
okay.
Yeah.
So, like, when people say six-pack abs, is that you see, like, the main six abs in the upper area, but are there any people have more? Like, how many total abs are there? Is it always a six-pack, or?
It can actually be up to, like, an eight-pack sometimes, and depending on the genetic structure. I mean, basically, it's just one sheet of muscle across the front, and there's connective tissue that separates that muscle, so it looks like they're, like, a bunch of different muscles, but it's all just one sheet right across there.
So what about cardio? I mean, if you compare the cardio to the training aspect or the nutrition part, like how important is the cardio?
Honestly, it's not that important.
Hmm.
It's I mean, you can do cardio, and it's a tool in your toolbox for getting the fat levels down, but bottom line, nutrition is more important. And there's people who are ripped with a six-pack and have never done any cardio. And
yeah, right.
For me, even in my own fat loss programs, cardio plays a pretty minimal role. It's mostly about what you eat, how much of it you eat, and what weight training you do, to be honest.
Kind of really... like, I saw an article the other day, pizza versus cardio.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can just, you just can't burn off the calories.
Can't out-train a bad
just
diet.
Just doing cardio, it comes down to nutrition, like you said.
Yep. Actually, I was going to write an article back on that and say you can out-train a bad diet.
Oh, really?
You just have to train 24 hours a day.
Right. Yeah, it just wouldn't be worth it.
Yep, absolutely.
A lot easier just to watch what you eat.
Pretty
Any
much,
recommendations
yeah.
on how to do that? I mean, there's so many different diets out there, and, you know, there can't be one that's cookie cutter for everybody, but do you have any, like, basic guidelines to kind of watch what you're eating?
Basically, it's, you know, the standard thing of trying to eat natural foods and trying to stay away from processed foods. That's going to be a huge piece of the puzzle right there, and one thing I always tell people, too, is to look at diet soda or even just soda in general. A lot of people, when they just get rid of the junk food, they start getting huge results within a matter of days because the body has to really struggle to process that stuff. And
So even diet sodas and stuff, cut that out?
Yeah, I don't even recommend them. I used to drink them once in a while.
I'm drinking a Pepsi One right now.
It's not so bad, but it's not the greatest because your body actually can sense that sweetness even though there's not actual carbs in there.
Hmm.
And you can actually get, and they've shown this in studies, you can get an insulin response just from the sweetness taste because your body, you know, we didn't evolve with diet sodas.
Right.
So when your body tastes sweet, then it has a reaction to it. So.
Now, going organic and natural, what about the carbs? I mean, grains and things like that, I've heard, you know, stick to vegetables and lean proteins, natural foods. What about grains like pasta and breads and potatoes? Is that something that people should cut out?
You don't necessarily have to cut them out. Reducing them is a good idea. And it's basically about using the carbs that you take in. If you have extra, then you're not going to lose any fat. But if you kind of keep an eye on what you're eating and the levels and how much of it you're eating, then you can definitely have some. For me, I actually prefer when I'm losing fat to do low-carb eating for a while. I kind of go back and forth between low-carb and low-fat just to keep the metabolism shaken up.
So it pretty much boils down to getting the abs to show up is a lot to do with just fat loss, which is directly related to your nutrition.
Exactly.
That's good to get that clear.
Yep.
Right off the bat. As far as the training goes, you know, I've read a lot in the magazines, a lot of articles, and they always say that the calves and the abs are two muscle groups that you can never overtrain. You can almost train them every time you work out. Is it true that you cannot overtrain your abs?
Actually, that's totally false.
Okay.
That you really can overtrain the abs. I know because I've done it. And you can, just like any other muscle, they require recovery and require nervous system energy, and you can overdo it with the abs. You're not going to overtrain them by doing 100 crunches a day. That's just not intense enough.
Right.
But if you really hammer them with heavy weight and heavy exercises, you absolutely can overtrain them. And I mean, it's tough to do, but you can. And most people really don't reach the threshold where they're going to be overtraining their abs, so it's not really a huge consideration. But you know.
So I guess it depends a lot on your exercise selection.
It does, yeah.
So in my workouts, I usually work out about 4 times a week, and what I do for abs is I pick one ab exercise, and I just throw it in at the end of each workout. So I'm doing abs 4 times a week, mm-hmm. but it's only one exercise for 3 sets. And, you know, I'll try to target a different area of the abs for each one. What do you think of something like that? Go ahead and critique me. I don't mind.
Actually, that's exactly what I do.
Okay.
Yeah, so you can train your abs frequently as long as you just don't overdo it with volume and resistance and everything.
Now, how you're doing more than that at the end of each workout, like more than one exercise?
You can, but anything more than 3 or 4 sets is just overkill to me. It's just like...
Okay.
You know, because where your energy comes from, like the center of your core, you know, you can overdo it in that area pretty quickly, too.
Right.
If you just trash your abs, you know, like these, I see a lot of times people go to a gym and do like a 30-minute abs class, and to me that's just a horrific waste of time, because you can't maintain intensity on one muscle group for that long when they're, you know, they're doing just like constant high rep exercises, and it's just...
I mean, it's not even that large of a muscle compared to like your back or legs.
Absolutely, and you're not going to burn any calories by doing it.
Do that many minutes straight on any muscle group.
Yeah, and these are just
that small.
Yeah, and they just constantly just hammer away at, you know, just these small muscles, and to me it's just not a good idea. And they don't balance it out with lower back work to keep the core stabilized, so. Which is the other problem I have with it.
So last night I told my wife that I was going to be interviewing you on ab training. Asked her if she had any questions. And she was wondering, is there any exercise you can do to target the lower abs, like below the belly button? That seems to be a trouble spot for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
So is there anything you can do to target that specific area?
That's actually a tough question because... like I was talking about before with the sheet of the abs, it stretches right from below that belly button all the way up to your rib cage, and it's one muscle. It's
right.
Hard to really, you know, tease out one portion of a muscle like that. There are ways you can change the leverage so that more of that area is worked. And one of the best ways I've found is to use a rolled-up towel when you're doing like lying leg raises, and you put that under your lower back, and that changes the pivot point of the exercise.
Okay.
When you're doing these leg raises, it actually you roll up and over the rolled up towel under your back, and it really kind of focuses the tension on that lower area.
So right in your lower back area.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Just kind of like right underneath your where a belt would be, like right under the waistband.
Okay.
Just take a rolled up towel underneath there, and you can do and keep your knees bent when you're doing these leg raises, but you can really target the lower abs pretty well with that.
All right. I did something similar with a sandbag. Last
mm-hmm.
week, I think that might work the same way.
Yeah, it's very similar. The sandbag is a bit of, I've done that too with the sandbag. It's a bit
that
too big for
a little higher though. Like
yeah,
on the back.
If you keep it, the rolled up towel is a smaller thing. It'll actually work better.
Okay, I'll give that a try. Thanks.
Yeah, absolutely.
So another question I had too. Sometimes you do the knee raises or leg raises when you're hanging from a bar,
mm-hmm.
and I'll wind up getting tired in my hip flexors, which, you know, as a trainer, I would always tell people, you got to focus on the muscle you're training and not use other muscles to assist. But is there anything you can do to kind of make sure you keep the focus on the abs instead of getting other muscles like the hip flexors to help in movements like that?
Oh, yeah. There's ways you can do that. Like when you're doing the hanging stuff especially, one of the best things I can recommend to people to do is instead of thinking like you're pulling your knees up or pulling your legs up, think about pushing your hips forward first and then bringing your knees and your legs up. When you push hips forward first, then the abs kick in right away. And then, I mean, the hip flexors are still going to do some work, but I found that tends to take a little bit out of it and takes the
that
focus
makes sense.
Up of them. Yeah.
Yeah, get the muscle you're working started right away.
Exactly. So usually when people are doing the hanging leg stuff, it's just their upper body remains vertical and the knees are going up and down. But when you kind of imagine like you're pushing your hips forward, that immediately activates the abs, and then they're kind of pre-tensed, and they'll contribute a lot more, and it does work.
Interesting. So I think you've heard of Sean LeBrun. He's a pretty well-known fitness author on the internet, and
mm-hmm.
I read a report of his called Killer Abs, and in that report, he kind of he talks about using weights when you're doing abs. So, I mean, you look at what a lot of people do. They wake up in the morning and they do their 100 crunches, and they do that every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's their ab training, or all this high-rep ab training, where Sean says you don't train any other muscle in your body that way. You don't go do like 100 reps on the bench press, so why do we do that for the abs? He recommends, you know, you do resistance abs, and you keep that under 15 reps and lower. So I just wanted to see what you thought of that philosophy.
Actually, I would even go lower in rep ranges, to be honest. I totally
oh, really?
Agree with using resistance for your ab training. I do
that won't bulk up the muscle or anything? I mean, if you go lower reps on other muscles, sometimes you can build some size. You don't really want to build size in your abs,
yeah.
right?
And that's usually why people think they have to do really high reps for crunches. But if you think about the abdominal muscles are actually really pretty thin. And it's tough to build them up because they're thin and there's a lot of connective tissue in there. So you know, if you wanted to really, really build a thick waist, you'd have to really try, and you'd have to
right.
really try and do it. And like an exercise that I really like is when I call curl squats. You basically take a barbell, you hold it in the top position of a barbell curl, and you do a squat. And it doesn't seem like an ab exercise, but it will trash your abs more than any other ab exercise you've ever
So hold
done
the barbell
before.
At the top position of a curl,
mm-hmm.
and then do a squat?
And then do a squat holding in that position.
Wow.
And, yeah, you'll feel your abs, and I can only get, I put, like, you know, 135 on the bar, and I do 4 to 6 reps, and that's it.
Wow.
Because
that
when you're
awesome.
It's a great ab exercise, and it will build core strength like nothing else. And
good, I'm going to give those a try tomorrow.
Yeah, definitely do, because when you think about it, when you're doing squats and you're doing deadlifts, a lot of that stability has to go through your core, and this trains it directly, and it's just amazing how
exactly.
well it works. And you'll be cursing me when you do it, I can promise you that. Because even when you're at the top of the movement, you're holding that bar away from your body. You're not supporting it on anything.
And did you make those up?
I did, yeah.
So what do you call them then? You got to put your name on them or something.
Yeah, I've named a few exercises after myself, but I should probably name that one after myself too. But.
Well, everybody does crunches, and that's an awesome exercise you just described. What are some other good exercises to do instead of the normal crunch that everybody does?
Oh, the list goes on, man. There's tons.
Like, what are your top three favorites?
If I had only three ab exercises, I could do the that curl squat would be one of them. The next one would be one I call abdominal sit-ups, where it's the same rolled-up towel thing under your lower back, but instead of doing a leg raise, you actually do a full sit-up movement. So what that does, it changes the fulcrum of the exercise. Takes all the tension off your hip flexors, puts it all on the abs, so it's like doing an ab sit-up. You know, you're taking your upper body weight and putting it all on your abs, and that one is extremely effective.
Cool.
And the next one I would do would actually be a rotational one, which is not like the doing crunches up to the sides or anything like that, but actually resisting the rotation. And my favorite one for that is one I call a two-dumbbell ball twist, where you you take two dumbbells, lay back on a Swiss ball, and then you rotate just your body, just your torso. You keep your head facing directly forward, and you rotate those dumbbells off to the left and rotate them off to the right, but you're keeping your hips and your head both maintain the position on that. So when you're moving that resistance to the dumbbells, it's all abs. And that one's incredible power.
For the setup on that, would it be similar to how you'd be doing a crunch on a stability ball?
Yeah, it'd be a very same setup. You'd just be laying back on the ball in that same position and holding the dumbbells kind of pressed together and then just rotating with the dumbbells. But you just got to make sure and keep your head in the same position and your hips in the same position and keep your arms pretty well bent. So you're almost doing like a bench press on the bottom arm, and they're staying in pretty close to your body. So it's not like a full big twist or anything. But you're actually, imagine like you're pulling and pushing just with the abs to move those dumbbells. And I've used up to like, I think 60-pound dumbbells, got a pair of 60-pound dumbbells on that.
Wow.
And yeah, 4 to 6 reps, and it just tightens up the waist like nothing else.
That's crazy. I've never done abs with that low of reps. I'm excited to see what this is going to do.
Yeah, and like I was talking about before with seeing the abs, I found when you do heavy resistance on the abs, you can actually see your abs pop out a lot sooner, even if you have higher body fat.
All right, good to know. Well, like you mentioned earlier, you do use your core a lot when you're doing, you know, lifts like the squat and other functional heavy lifting. Do you think that when you're training a lot like that, like in powerlifting, a lot of guys are squatting heavy, that they kind of work their core doing that a little bit? Do you think they still need to do as much ab training, or are they kind of getting that covered during their normal workouts?
I know for me, when I'm doing a lot of heavy training, I actually do cut back on the ab training because the heavy compound movements do require a lot of your abs, and they will get some good heavy training. But on the other hand, you can also benefit those compound movements by training heavy abs, like I was talking about with the curl squat exercise. By increasing your core strength like that, you can actually lift more in your deadlift and lift more in your squats and actually get some major benefits out of that.
Okay, where's the weight belt come in? I mean, for powerlifting, when we're lifting heavy at the gym, typically my rule is anytime it doesn't matter what the weight is because it's all relative to who's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you put the belt on, for me, it's usually 3 reps or lower is when I'll put the belt on, because I want to have my core helping during all these other exercises and movements and with a little bit lighter weight. So you see some guys, they come into the gym and they've got their belt strapped on, their weightlifting gloves from the second they've walked in the door, and they wear it the entire workout.
Yep.
Like, that's got to hinder your core development as just stabilizers or assistant muscles in anything you do.
So, oh, yeah.
Do you agree with that the belt kind of hinders the ab development if you wear it too much?
I can talk from personal experience on this one, because when I first started training and didn't really know what I was doing, I wore a belt all the time. And then I read an article about how it can actually hinder your core development and your core strength. And I quit using the belt cold turkey, and, you know, I haven't actually used one since. And that was like 15 years ago.
Wow, yeah, I remember doing the same thing in high school.
Yep.
I was a guy wearing the belt the whole time.
Oh, yeah, had that sucker on the whole time. And never again would I do that, because it does actually affect your body's ability to use, activate the core, basically. And because you have your own natural weight belt with your abs that go around, like the rotational exercise that I was talking about before, that's a good one for training that natural weight belt.
Right.
And
I like calling it that, natural weight belt.
Yeah.
See someone wearing a belt, you don't need that belt. You have a natural weight belt.
Exactly. And for stuff that's not like the 1 to 3 reps like you were talking about, you can do just fine without wearing a belt. It's just not necessary.
Right. And everyone thinks of the belt as safety or protecting, but what it really doing is it's protecting you from building your core and strengthening your abs. So,
yeah.
Like, but Nick said, don't put those on unless you're doing really heavy weights.
Yeah, and like Mike was just saying, once you start getting into really heavy weight, and this is like competitive heavy weight, that's when I can see a belt can be helpful. But for me, I actually do some ridiculous weights without using a belt at all.
Yeah, I've seen some of your some of your videos on powerful training secrets.
Yeah, I mean, just last week I did a lifetime personal best on the deadlift, 565 pounds, and didn't use a belt.
Nice. With no belt?
No belt.
Wow.
And just a couple, about a month before that, I did a personal best on stiff legged deadlifts. I did 455 with no belt.
Nice. Did you get those on video?
I did, actually, yep. And as soon as I get around to pulling the last 4 hours of tape off my video camera here, then I'm going to be posting those, because
that's really cool. Congrats, man. Anytime you get a PR.
Absolutely, yeah. There's nothing I like better than doing heavy deadlifts, and that's training the abs with heavy weight and, you know, staying away from the belt has been great for that.
Yeah, it's just a great exercise. Pretty much works your entire body.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I actually was doing some high rep deadlifting the week before that and did 315 for 30.
Oh, wow. You're all over the place. High reps, maxing out, everything.
Oh, that's actually...
Keeping it interesting.
That was actually one of the best techniques I found for building up to my max, though, is to take that moderate weight, and this is totally unrelated to ab training, but...
Right, but it's still
like the week before, I was kind of like building up to it. The first week, I did 225. I'm doing like a 5 days of diet, 5 days of mass building, and just kicking back and forth between the two, and I was doing extremely high rep training during the fat loss one, and then doing very low rep training and rest pause training during the muscle building, and it was working really, really well.
So, I mean, how many times would you be deadlifting a month then?
When I was doing that, it was probably 5 or 6 times a month.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's in a very extreme difference in rep ranges there, obviously.
Yeah, we'll have to do another interview on deadlift training next.
Absolutely, yeah.
So we're dispelling some myths here. Let's keep that going. I know one thing, the media, you know, the media just confuses everybody with everything they're saying. It's just advertising messages and commercials, and you see all these things on TV that are promising to, you know, be the new secret thing to get abs. So I just want to talk about some of these ab gadgets. I don't even know what they're all called, and there's probably a ton of knockoffs and stuff, but, you know, you've seen those belts you put on that have, like, the electricity in them?
Mm-hmm.
What's the deal with that? Does that do anything at all? My head just tells me that it just sounds ridiculous.
Those things don't even keep your
wrong.
Pants up, man. Those are useless.
Or just use it as a belt.
They're so useless they don't even keep your pants up. That's how useless
they are. They don't even do that.
Yeah. I mean, in an article I wrote about these ab belts is I say the best thing you can do for them is just use them as a joke and bring them to the gym and, you know, duct taping an extension cord to them and just pretend you're plugging yourself in before every set.
That's funny.
Because that's just all they're good for.
Yeah, you can just sit there on the couch and do nothing, and this thing will build abs for you, right?
Yeah, it's just the stupidest thing. And
is there anything on TV you've seen that is legitimate?
Yeah, there are a few things out there that have some reasonable kind of ideas behind them. But the bottom line is they're just focusing on a very small portion of the overall picture. And you have to go back to nutrition, and you have to go back to overall training your whole body. And if you just train the abs and just train the abs and you get on these things, even if it does work, you're just going to build the abs. You're not going to balance anything out. You're just going to have, you know, abs, and that's it.
Right. You'll have really strong abs that are covered in fat that you can't see.
Exactly. And yeah, you can tighten up the waist a little bit by working the abs and tightening them up, but overall, most of those things, I just get a kick out of watching those. I actually turn those on purpose on late-night TV sometimes just to see what new things you're coming up with. And my favorite is that ab lounger.
Fall for it.
Yeah, that ab lounger thing, just love that thing. It's like,
What is it, an ab lounger?
Oh, yeah, it's like, I swear somebody invented this because a lawn chair folded up on them when they're sat down on it. Because it's just like this hammock thing that basically folds you up in half like a burrito. And that's
I've seen that one.
Yeah, I tried it out at a Kmart once, and the thing is just horrible. It's like a bear trap. You know?
Yeah. I wind up getting stuck in that thing.
Oh, I know. And there's some of these things. I have friends who, you know, don't do a lot of training. I go to their house, and I see these things in their basement and stuff, and I try them out, and it's just, I get a kick out of it.
They wind up becoming, like, things that just people hang their shirts on and stuff.
Oh, they're just great for
sell them at a garage sale later.
Yeah, it's ironic, actually. One of the requirements for being on an infomercial for these ab things, it has to slide under your bed. It has to fall
right.
away. It has to go away, basically. They want people to buy it.
Just
throw it away and sell it at the garage sale.
Put it in a closet so you forget you bought it.
Exactly. So you have to go buy the next thing the next month.
Right.
That's the whole deal. It keeps on going. But there are a few good things like that. Ab wheels are actually quite good.
And, yeah, I've been using those.
Yeah. And actually what I do is I do.
Those can be tough.
They really absolutely can be.
Have you ever done that exercise walking where you've just got, actually, what is it? You hook it onto your feet instead, and then mm-hmm. you just walk with your hands for as far as you can go.
Oh, that one's great. That's a brutal
yeah.
one. I actually kind of jimmied something up because I didn't want to buy an ab wheel for $80. So I just went to the hardware store and bought a plant dolly for $15.
Nice.
So you just sit your feet on this thing, and you know, it's like some wood and a couple of casters, and it's I use it for all kinds of stuff. I actually find it to be better than an ab wheel because there's a whole lot more you can do with it in addition to the same stuff as the ab wheel.
That sounds cool. Where do you got yeah. videos of those people can check out?
I got that on my PowerfulTrainingSecrets.com site too, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, but
PowerfulTrainingSecrets.com.
Yeah, but you just go to a hardware store and get a wooden plant dolly, like $15-$20, and you can do so much with that. It's just ridiculous. I mean, I have a lunging exercise I do where I put the one foot on the ground and I put the other foot on the dolly, and then you just bring that, like a step back lunge, you just roll backwards on that bottom foot. So it's like a one-legged squat.
Yeah, just don't do that with two on at the same time.
That's right. You're in for problems. Big problems.
So what about, this is another question I've had. Which, there's a guy I know from the gym, and he does have abs,
mm-hmm.
pretty low body fat, and he says he's got this cream. I forget what kind it was or something, but he puts it on just his abs, and he mm-hmm. says it somehow sucks the fat or dries up that area or does something. Have you heard anything about anything that works that way? Sounds like a cream that could spot reduce body fat, which goes against everything I've ever learned.
Yeah, and that's just total BS.
All right.
But there are creams that a lot of people, if you've heard the stuff, theophylline, it's like a caffeine kind of similar thing. It's actually a local diuretic.
You
combine it with the skin, and it flushes water out of the area.
And that's just temporary, right?
Totally temporary. That's why people keep buying the creams, because they get the temporary results.
That's true. So if you're going to the beach, you put the cream on, and then you come home at the end of the day, and you're fat again.
Pretty much, yep. All that water just comes right back in. So, I mean, basically, that's what a lot of those creams, you know, they say that they've got proven results and everything. One day, actually, I figure I might try this and see, just put, like, cream on half my abs. and leave the other half no cream and just, you know, try it for a month and see if there's any difference. I can't think of a better comparison than that. You know,
yeah,
if something's going to spot reduce, you're going to be able to see pretty clearly if there's going to be any differences. And then it doesn't even matter if you do, you know, a diet or somebody doesn't diet and it takes everything else out of the, as far as variables. It's like, okay,
right.
Half my abs are fat, half my abs are not, you know, obviously.
Yeah,
it works.
It's not two different people. It's not yeah. a time period. It's
the
it's
same.
Perfect.
Same body and same everything. And
what happened?
I haven't tried it yet. But
okay, you're going to do that?
Yeah. So I'm kicking around. I actually had forgotten about that, but I think I might give that a try here.
Well, so the cream can, you know, spot reduce or something, but what about, as the fat loss expert too with Metabolic Surge, can you just go over a little bit about spot reducing body fat? I've heard the comparison of a swimming pool, how you can't take, you know, you can't lose body fat in just one area. So
yeah.
you take water out of a pool, it doesn't come out of that one spot of the pool. It comes out of the pool evenly. Does the body work that same way?
Totally like that. And usually it's the place you want to get rid of first is the place that comes off last.
So right.
That's generally how it happens. I mean, it's, if you think about it like a swimming pool, like you were saying, when you're filling up a pool, the deep end fills first. You know, obviously the lowest position in there fills up first. When you're when the pool's all full up, when you start to lose fat, like draining the pool, it comes off the top. It doesn't come out of the deep end. So you might gain weight first in your stomach and lose it last from your stomach.
Right.
So, you know, the key is not to fill up the pool.
Definitely.
Yeah. But, you know, like you were saying, there's no real way to spot reduce. And there are studies that show there might be some ways to do that, but the training protocols you'd have to follow are just, like, ridiculous. I think they did a study where people were doing, like, hundreds and hundreds upon thousands of crunches just daily, and they showed some slight degree of spot reduction.
Wow.
And, it's like, you know, it's just not worth it, you know. Stay on a diet for two extra days, and you'll get the same results. And,
I mean, diet, is that something you do temporarily, or is that more of a lifestyle that you can just get used to, and that's how you eat? Sounds like some people do mass cycles and then cutting cycles, or do you just find something you can stick with?
That depends completely on your focus. And for me, I use diets, and I go, if I want to lose fat, I'll focus everything towards fat loss, eating, nutrition, training. I'll go on a diet because they do work, but they don't work like long-term. If you want to just be long-term healthy, long-term keep your body fat low, that's when you need to find something that you can stick with long-term. For me, I actually quite enjoy flipping back and forth between extremes.
Yeah, that makes everything more fun, the training, having different goals.
Oh, yeah. Like right now, I'm actually doing a round of my metabolic surge program, and I'm doing low-carb eating, and it's fine. And then when I come off it, I'll go on a mass phase and, you know, try to build, and then I'll eat all the stuff I couldn't eat when I was on the fat loss phase. And
then when you're not doing that, you kind of somewhere in the middle?
Yeah, I'll kind of just, you know, have a few meals a day where I'm going healthy, and, you know, maybe I'll eat a lot for dinner after a training or something. And it's just all about finding what works for you. And that's pretty much what I found works for me. And a lot of people, when they're doing fat loss, they get they either focus too much on just being on a diet, and they go too much extreme in that. And then when they come off it, they just go nuts and go right back to their original eating habits.
Start binging or just completely falling off the wagon.
Yeah, and that's basically the problem, is when you look at it just as a diet, as a temporary thing, and you shouldn't be looking at it as a temporary thing. That's when you run into
the problem. Diet just kind of has a negative connotation to it. It kind of sounds like a bad word.
It does, yeah. It's a four-letter word, you know. That's what a lot of people just look at it. It's like a temporary, they look at it as deprivation, as painful,
right.
As temporary.
Like on a diet.
Yeah, I can't wait until I don't have to be on this anymore so I can eat what I want again. And as soon as they start doing that, all the old habits come back.
Right.
So if you're basically just in it for health and for to be fun and to be in fitness, then just, you know, stick with a program you can do more steady state. And that'll be a better approach for you rather than trying to drop 30, 40 pounds within 2 months and then not making any long-term changes, because then you'll just kind of gain it back.
Yeah, kind of setting realistic goals that you can achieve versus trying to do these crash diets where you lose a lot at once. And then you wind up losing a lot of muscle, too. So, yeah, you have your abs, but you lost all that muscle you've been building up.
Yeah, and that's another huge problem, too. And that's all these hydroxy-cut commercials you see on TV where I lost 12 pounds in 2 days.
Yeah, and really they just had their pictures photoshopped.
Totally, yeah. Or they take people who were in shape, pay them to get fat, and then pay them to lose it again.
Yeah. Right.
But, there was a company, Xenodrine, got busted totally for doing that.
I recognized some of those ads where they had the pro fitness models, and you saw pictures from a long time ago or the before pictures.
Mm-hmm.
It just didn't make any sense.
Yeah, no, it's there's a lot you can do to play around with before pictures. I mean, you can actually even, in your own body, within 5 minutes, change completely how you look just by slouching over, sticking your stomach out, and looking sad, and
right,
you know,
looking
bad
sad,
lighting,
sticking your stomach out, lighting.
Oh yeah.
Make sure you're nice and pale, and
totally. You can turn around and do a whole transformation in 5 minutes, you know, in 30 seconds, you know, just by how you.
Plus, you know, bodybuilders and powerlifters, they cut weight over an exact amount of time. You can lose 15, 20 pounds in 2 days just to take a picture.
Mm-hmm.
So don't get totally convinced by all these before and after pictures you see.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
You need a little more social proof than that of what's going on.
Absolutely. And
I think we covered a lot of ground with this. I think we got a lot of questions answered. But just as a summary, you know, we've talked about some of this during the interview, but as a general recommendation, if someone's got their nutrition in line, which is step number one, you got your body fat down. As far as the actual ab training, we've talked about some of the exercises to do, but how many reps, sets, and times per week would you recommend for training the abs if we've got everything else in line?
What I would recommend would be about 3 or 4 times a week, or 4 sets each time, picking 1 or 2 exercises. And the way you do it, bouncing around between different areas of the abs, like say one day doing something that hits the six-pack ab, the rectus abdominis area, and maybe the next time doing something rotational, and the next time doing something like the curl squats that has more of a support function to it. So you're training all aspects of the abdominal area. That's a really good way to do it.
Okay, great.
Very effective.
I'm glad I'm kind of on the right track.
You're doing good.
Even knowing what I was doing, I'm just going to increase the weight, start hitting some lower reps, try some of these new exercises you've shared with us. Thanks for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I do have one more question I just thought of.
Sure.
for the side bends exercise, where you just hold a kettlebell and you just kind of bend to one side,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't feel like it's doing that much. I mean, is that a... I've heard people just say that exercise just stinks, just trash it. Do you think that exercise has some value?
I'm not a big fan
of it
either.
It's like the easy one where you don't feel like doing abs. You kind of do that one.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan at all of that one, to be honest. All
right. Let's throw that one.
The oblique area can build up pretty quickly and pretty easily when you hit it with resistance, actually. That's one of the exercises I wouldn't recommend much resistance with.
Oh, okay. What about the twists when you put... Sorry, I'm trying to close up the interview, but I'm asking more questions. What about when you put the bar behind your back?
It can be good depending on how you do it. And there actually is a technique that really actually tightens up the obliques rather than builds them up. And that technique is basically to do it while keeping your head facing forward and your hips facing forward and just turn your torso. It's when people usually do the twisting exercise, their head goes around too. And when you do that, it kind of takes the benefit out of it.
But yeah, I can feel that doing it right now.
Yeah, just keep your eyes facing straight forward. Just turn the shoulders and really focus on sucking in and squeezing that side that you're turning to. And you'll feel a really tight cramping sensation right in there. And just doing like a broomstick, no weight at all, just 20 to 30 reps at the end of every workout. It's, you know, you're done in a minute. And it actually really has a lot of potential for tightening up the waist and making, even if you don't lose the fat from the area, it actually tightens up the obliques underneath it, so you look like you're losing the fat from the area.
Awesome. All right, well, thanks a lot for the tips, Nick. If somebody wants to learn some more about ab training, or they got to get their nutrition in line, where can they go to check out some of your programs, products, and some of your cool exercises that you invent?
Best place to go, the website you mentioned, fitness-ebooks.com. Also, my other website, fitstep.com, fitstep.com.
Okay.
And I've also got a lot of really crazy stuff at my membership site, powerfultrainingsecrets.com. And I've got
That's an awesome site. I've been in there. You'll find all kinds of new exercises in there, so definitely check that out.
Yeah, that's where I put all my new stuff out. Like almost every other day, I put new stuff in there. And I've got about 50 pages worth of free stuff on there, too, to check out, so you don't even have to sign up to get a lot of it. So.
Awesome. Well, thanks again for all the information, and I'm sure we'll be talking to you soon. Thanks, Nick.
You bet, Mike.
Anything else you wanted to say?
Well, that'll wrap it up pretty good there. So.
All right. Talk to you soon. Thanks.
All right.